379-3001.
Good afternoon, Sunshine Country. It is Wednesday afternoon, March 26th, and it's 3 minutes past the hour of 1 o'clock. And as I've been telling you this morning, we're going to have the opportunity and real privilege and pleasure this afternoon to visit with Iowa's Congressman for the 3rd Congressional District, Mr. Zach Nunn. Congressman Nunn, good afternoon to you.
Hey, Aaron. Thanks so much, brother. Good to be with you and everybody out there in Red Oak and our Southwest Iowa friends.
It's a real pleasure to get to visit with you, Congressman Nunn. I do appreciate your time very much, and certainly thanks for the work you're doing in Congress. It's appreciated, and I know a lot of work is being done, and sometimes you don't always see that, but it you know, takes a big effort, doesn't it?
Well, God bless you, my friend. It does. And, you know, what I love about our district in Iowa is that when I'm out at my listening tours, I get the opportunity to hear some of Iowa's best recommendations coming out here. We're fighting right now on a bipartisan bill to get supply chain costs down by helping truckers, by getting more training at our technical schools and making sure that somebody can afford to buy that first truck. You know, the very first bill, Aaron, that I passed was to help our Iowa National Guard men and women get maternity and paternity leave in the same way the active duty folks do. And that came from Iowans who made this recommendation and helped get it signed a law by the president. So it's a privilege to get to do this. It's fun work. It's hard work. But it's the right work to be doing for our state.
Absolutely. One of the things, Congressman Nunn, you have a great record, Congressman, of working across the aisle in a bipartisan fashion. One of the things you did recently was dealing with our rural water systems. You just have to take a minute and glance across the headlines to see cyber attacks of all kinds on gas pipelines to healthcare systems to water systems and rural water systems in particular. Tell me about this. How did this come to your mind? And then tell me where we're at with this legislation.
Yeah, you know, you don't have to drive too far across Iowa before you see a water tower on the horizon or a water treatment facility down along the creek bed here. And challengingly, this is an area, the ag community is the 3rd most attacked sector in America after energy and finance when it comes to cyber attacks that are, you know, petty criminals just trying to ransom some system so they can get the money to foreign state actors, as we've seen, who've tried to threaten Americans' lives. And the challenge here is this isn't like having being locked out of your bank account or having to go and asking somebody to assist you getting your password reset. This is the quality of our drinking water and our water supply for everything from livestock to row crops to the family dog.
Yeah.
And so right now in the United States, there are roughly 153,000 drinking water systems. Those are all those water towers and everything else that go on. And more than 80% of the country is serviced by a public water system. So think your county water, your rural water, all these guys who are working really hard to make sure there's water at the tap for you. The challenge is we have seen cyber attacks just on a massive increase here, and they are resulting in the potential for illness and even loss of life. And a real-world example came out of both California and Florida that their water treatment systems were hacked and the hackers attempted to poison folks in both those states, and it's a direct result of a lax cybersecurity measure. Nonetheless, only about 20% of those publicly owned water systems had implemented even the most basic level of cybersecurity. You probably had more on your personal computer.
Yeah.
So as a result, I am proud to be working on bipartisan legislation called the Cybersecurity for Rural Water Systems Act, specifically direct the U.S. Department of Agriculture to expand cybersecurity programs to help our rural and most vulnerable water systems rapidly assess a cybersecurity threat, develop a protocol to enhance our cyber defenses collectively, and provide assistance and for those cyber protection plans that might be deemed inadequate or non-existent. And really what we're doing is we're leveraging the best practices across the country here, but we're doing it in a way where our local municipalities don't see their water rates skyrocket to have to do this. Let's take the best practices that have been proven and bring them to rural communities across the country so they get the same level of protection as a big city would get.
It is one of those things. And a lot of times we're not insulated, Congressman, out here in rural America. We think we're kind of away from it, but we're not. It's all tied together.
That's exactly right. And so, you know, they might attack the water system in Red Oak, and if it doesn't get stop, then they're looking at Atlantic, and they're going out to Ottumwa in the east, or attacking Omaha in the west. This would be a great opportunity for us to inoculate ourselves to these type of cyber intrusion sets, but then also make sure we're sharing best practices with everybody so that we can have a high castle wall, as it were, around all of our water systems earlier in the process.
One of the other things, and by the way, we're visiting with Representative Zach Nunn, Iowa's 3rd Congressional District, this afternoon. Our thanks to Mr. Nunn for his time. Kind of along those same lines, Mr. Nunn, the artificial intelligence. I don't know if you've heard this, but, you know, it's been in the news a little bit lately. AI, it seems like it's every headline, and it is. It's fascinating, and it's scary all at the same time. It is truly remarkable. One of the things that you have been working on, again, is Artificial Intelligence Practice Logistics Actions and Necessities Act. That's a lot. What are we talking about,
Tom? Yeah, it's a big title, and all it really boils down to here, Aaron, is it's called the AI Plan Act, and it means the federal government needs to have a plan for artificial intelligence. Right now, we've got a couple of department agencies, particularly in the last administration, that run out there putting all sorts of regulations out there that were driving innovators here in the United States out of the U.S. And I want a made in America artificial intelligence apparatus. And here's what I mean by that. I want our great thinkers, our great entrepreneurs, our great doers, particularly on the private sector, to be able to come to the U.S. and build and create great things, because the future of our country is going to decide based on who really does artificial intelligence well to help our workforce. It is a multi-trillion dollar industry, and if we scare it out of the United States, or worse, we overregulate it to death, we're going to allow our adversaries in China and other countries to get ahead of us. And I don't want to see that happen.
Yeah.
So what the AI Plan Act quite simply does is say, before the federal government comes out with a bunch of new restrictions, regulations, reporting requirements, they get their own house in order and figure out, how are they governing AI? Who's got lead on this? Who will be responsible when entrepreneurs go out here and do this, to be the one who's helping them get to the next level and boosting it forward, not standing in their way?
Yeah. So AI is the boom. It's $15, $20 trillion, depending on the information you're looking at, over the next decade. It's what the internet was in the 90s, Congressman. I'm old enough to remember that. It's a potential boom, but at the same time, we've outsourced everything all over the world, so we don't have control of it here.
Probably from a generation where we still remember AOL dial-up or
exactly.
On the phone line, right?
That's exactly right.
But here's the reality. If we want to make sure that Social Security is solvent, something I'm committed to, it means we have AI that happens here in the United States that boosts the U.S. economy trillions of dollars. If we want American workers to be more productive than ever in human history, then that means AI that is owned by Americans, for Americans, and executed here. So this is going to be a real chapter over the next 4 years of President Trump's term. We've got to be in pole position, because if we're not, somebody else is going to be.
Yep, exactly right. Are we seeing that? I saw or read somewhere in the last couple of days, north of $3 trillion of new investment since President Trump came into office, promised into the United States in the next 4 years. Are we making headway and bringing that back?
We are. And by providing on-ramps back to the United States, not only were you driving down, you know, our trade deficits with country where America was effectively spending good U.S. dollars buying cheap stuff from some other country where they tariffed us, now we're having the opportunity to build that right here in the United States in a far more competitive spot. Not only is it creating more jobs, it's growing local economies as well.
Yeah. It's a truly remarkable. You're a military guy, Congressman Nunn. The applications with AI in our military is stunning, isn't it?
Well, and here's the great part about this. This is dual use. So what we use for a drone technology to help secure our southern border is also the same technology we can be using for precision agriculture to fight, you know, weed growth throughout farm fields. In ag alone, artificial intelligence has the opportunity to help us grow 70% in the next 10 years.
Wow.
Our agricultural output. That's in both livestock to row crop and everything in between. This is a game changer for the next generation of farmers who are jumping into this, to be able to do it in a way that America is not only going to be able to feed and fuel the world, we have the ability to be, you know, a global food supplier to create better U.S. national security interests in every corner of the planet.
You know, Congressman, I think our farmers are so willing to accept and jump on board with new technology when they can see that it is profitable for them.
Right.
That is the thing. Interestingly enough, share a conversation with you. I had two farmers in my studio just a couple of days ago. One was, let's say, more seasoned and been around the block a time or two, and one was just getting started. We were talking about autonomous tractors. The question came up, would you be willing and would you trust AI, an autonomous tractor, you know, $250,000 to $500,000 tractor driving around by itself? Of course, the more seasoned farmer said, I don't think I can do that. The younger guy, I'm right on it. I'm there. I'm ready for it. So it was just a great conversation, I have to tell you.
Aaron, I love to hear this. And, you know, a salute to our seasoned farmer.
Yes.
No other career field in America depends as much on the seasoned farmer as we do for our ag guys who are out there in the field. Now, what I will say is we've got, I think, a very important bill here, the Young and Beginning Farmers Tax Credit. What we do need, though, are more young people to come out of our trade schools, our high schools, our FFA, like my daughter's in 4-H, start early, because I guarantee you my 9-year-old girl in 4-H knows more about her apps on her tablet than I do half the time. That's how we're going to make AI really functional. It's giving people who have the practitioner skills the tools that AI provides to make them even better at the jobs they do.
I had the opportunity, and by the way, Congressman Zach Nunn with me this afternoon. I had the opportunity and pleasure this morning, Congressman Nunn, to visit with Senator Ernst. I asked her if she was surprised at the vitriol and some of the just viciousness that we're seeing going on around Doge and Tesla. Are you surprised by that?
You know, I will offer this very candidly. This is a small group of individuals who are trying to be really loud. And the reality is we had a great referendum on the future of America. It was called the election back in November. And here in Iowa, Trump won by an overwhelming double-digit majority. I'm privileged to get to serve here, knocking out one of the highest wins that this district's ever seen. But I also recognize this. I've got 800,000 bosses in Iowa, and they come from all backgrounds, all types, and we want to make sure that we are taking Iowa's voice and Iowa and accountability to Washington, D.C. So we're going to fight back on things that we think hurt Iowans, but I would also offer this, you know, just by yelling at the top of your voice in a small group is not the way to get things done.
Yeah.
We have led good legislation, bipartisan legislation, but most importantly, pragmatic legislation that does more than make a statement. It gets signed into law, and it makes Iowans' lives better.
And you've had a lot of success in that pragmatic, thoughtful legislation, Congressman Dunn. So thanks for doing that. Certainly appreciate it.
I appreciate it, brother. Thank you, Aaron.
Congressman Zach Dunn with me. Anything else, Congressman Dunn? I know you have things to do and people to see and places to be, and I appreciate your time. Anything else we need to cover?
No, we'll check in soon. Hey, you guys let me know, and I just appreciate the opportunity to serve Iowa and D.C., to serve in uniform. I just came off reserve duty. But most importantly, I'm glad I get to spend a little bit of my time this month with my family, taking the girls fishing on Sunday afternoon. So
there you go.
Good.
Crappie should be biting.
That's right. I hope so.
Make it an 8-count, Congressman. Appreciate your time.
Thanks, Aaron. Talk to you, man.
Congressman Zach Nunn with me this afternoon, and again, our appreciation to Congressman Dunn for his time.